you're also joining in a conversation that I think is very important, a conversation that I look over my life and I'm like, man, I wish I knew this earlier. I look over my life and I'm like, man, I wish my parents knew this earlier. And I look over my nephews and nieces and I'm like, man, I'm so glad that I know this, but how else can I improve my knowledge towards this? I'm talking about the data and the information that our children are exposed to online. How do you and I make sure that they are safe? How do we make sure that they are not consuming things that we otherwise wouldn't want them to consume? And also, how do we actually keep an eye and a hand and our thumb really on what it is that they're watching on television, consuming on social media, some of the games that they're playing, etc., etc.? Well, joining me this afternoon for a second part of this conversation that started last week, talking about child online safety, which if you missed, you can head on over to our website, impactradio.co.za, and you'll be able to find the podcast from last week's conversations on our website. And of course, the second part of that conversation is happening right now, where we're saying, okay, last week we're talking about how we put our children out, the photos we post and using social media to share life updates with the faces of our children. And now we're going, okay, let's talk about what they're consuming, what they take in, what they're seeing. And joining for this conversation is Christelle van der Merwe. She is from Mimecast and she's really just weighing in to kind of say, hey, these are some of the things that you and I can be able to look out for when it comes to our children and their safety online. Christelle, welcome to Drive 3 to 6. Welcome back, rather. It's so good to be chatting to you again.
Lovely to be with you and your listeners.
Christelle, I mean, last week when we wrapped up the conversation, somebody might have felt like, oh my goodness, I wasn't aware that there's so much that happens. And it almost feels like, man, this is scaring me a little bit. But also at the same time, it felt like this is important for people to know. Maybe to start off from that overarching conversation, why is online safety for our children such an important conversation for us to have as often as possible?
Well, see, I think it's because we don't realize how much time our children spend online. And we can talk a little bit more about some research and studies as how much time that is. But it's a big part of their lives. And as their parents and caregivers, you know, it is our duty of care to have an understanding of where they're spending their time and a way to protect them and make sure that they are not emotionally, physically at risk because of their online behavior.
Yeah. And more often than not, and this is my assumption, I don't know the studies, I'm assuming that one is likely to see the effects of it way after the consumption has already happened and their interaction with what's happening online. But let's talk about, you know, paint the picture towards their consumption. That's what we're talking about this week. How much time do kids typically spend online in a day, just a rough estimation based on stats, and what are they actually consuming the most during this time?
So, Jose, I think, you know, when you actually dig into how much time people spend online, there's an interesting study from Electronics Hub, which says on average, South Africans spend about 58.2% of their day in front of a screen. So a laptop, a computer, a mobile device. And then when we break that down into age groups and we're looking at young people, they average about 9 hours a day on screen. And I mean, that's quite staggering if you think about it. And yeah. Then even you break it down a little bit further, teenagers between the ages of 13 and 19, about 8.5 hours every day on a screen, and younger kids of about 8 to 12, about 5.5 hours daily. And when we try and understand what that difference is, it's really due to many factors. So there's obviously developmental and social and educational factors, with teenagers spending a lot of time online forming friendships, a lot of educational time doing things online, whereas younger children often have supervised physical play dates, in-school interactions, you know, organized events where parents or caregivers are actually supervising their activities with structured playtime, reading time, social interactions. So with younger children, you know, parental control and school restrictions naturally keep that screen time a little bit lower than teenagers. But teenagers, if you think about it, you know, they spend their life online. So it's whether it's academically, whether they're doing stuff on social media, whether they're in consuming entertainment by watching Netflix or whatever it is that they're doing, they're relying on their devices. And it's like, you know, when I'm just going to give away my age here, you know, my parents bought me 24 encyclopedias when I was at school and I had to go and research things for school. But now all of their schoolwork is being done, the research and virtual learning, it's all being done online. Homework assistance, study groups, everything is online. And then that's kind of the supervised piece. But then there's the unsupervised piece, which is what are they doing on social media? What are they doing in communities? You know, where are they interacting in other digital spaces during their day-to-day?
You know, if we double clicking into this, just creating a picture, it's easy for us to kind of go, but what should I be looking out for? The sort of low-hanging fruit is for one to think about, okay, definitely social media. But my child doesn't have social media, so I guess we're fine. But from what I understand, that this is a little bit broader than just limited to social media. So what type of online content or content that our children are consuming should parents be most concerned about and keep kind of like their thumb the most glued on that they are able to take in every single day?
Yeah, so the question is, like social media is like a sort of a, you know, an interaction example. But if you think about the way that children are exposed to digital content, there's another interesting study from UNICEF SA Kids Online that shows that 95% of children have access to the internet on a daily basis. So, you know, that exposes them to all kinds of risks: online violence, exploitation, abuse, explicit content. And in South Africa specifically, it's shown that 43% of children have been exposed to some form of violent content online. And additionally, 12% of South African parents have reported instances where an unknown adult has tried to befriend their child on the internet. So, you know, there's a lot of children. 70% of children are accessing the internet without parental consent. There's no oversight on what they're doing online, and that's anything, you know, surfing the internet, looking for things. And when we dig a little bit deeper into the things we need to be worried about, what are they doing online? What are they looking at? You know, who are they interacting with? There's other scary statistics, for example, that 25% have added people that they've never met face to face. So they add them to their friends list or their contact list. And 18% of kids have sent photos or videos of themselves to those people that they have never actually met. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that parents should be paying attention to, is what is my child doing online? Who are they interacting with? What content are they looking at? Because it's not just social media. It could be multiple different things that they do that cause harm to them.
My goodness, I think those statistics really just alert a person to kind of go, man, there's a lot of areas that I'm needing to kind of keep guard and safeguard and ensure that my child is protected from all sorts of different things and people that are out there. But Christelle, maybe someone might be thinking, oh man, this sounds important. I'm feeling so guilty. I've allowed my child to be able to do half the things that you've mentioned and they may be exposed to this, but I don't know what to do. I'm not tech savvy. I grew up BBT, born before technology. But what are some effective ways that a parent can be able to monitor their children's online activity to kind of catch this before it becomes something that it shouldn't?
Yeah, so Hosie, I think that parents in this day and age, you know, like I say, if you're a BBT, you still have to realize in today's digital age, technology plays a crucial role in my child's daily life and their development. And I need to make this a priority as a caregiver to have a better understanding of what they are in every day. And there's some stuff that's pretty easy to learn. So take some proactive measures. Most tools have got parental controls, and they also have filtering tools. So you can protect your child from viewing any inappropriate content. You can also manage their screen time. You can monitor online activities. And you know, you can understand what they're doing. I mean, I get a message on my iPhone every Sunday morning to tell me exactly how much time I've spent on my phone that week and exactly what I've done on my phone that week. And those kind of parental controls and filtering, you know, that's not a difficult thing for parents to learn, to understand how do I monitor my child's activity. The other thing also to be mindful of is make sure that they're on a secure device and a secure network so that they can't actually get to content that they shouldn't be seeing. And there's all kinds of things that you can do. For example, a lot of internet service providers or ISPs, they actually have built-in parental controls so they help parents to be able to switch those on and help you to monitor and prohibit your child from getting into anything that you wouldn't like them to see. So use those tools, understand them, and get them to protect your child. And also, especially for younger children, there are specific devices that are designed for children that have built-in controls, sort of built-in filtering, making sure that children are actually unable to get to any websites that they shouldn't be looking at on the internet.
I've seen with certain platforms and also with certain streaming devices or streaming platforms or whatever it may be, there's always just this mention of is this account for a child, or create a profile for a child, or having a part of the software being available for child usage. And I'm assuming that this is kind of the platform creating a space of protecting children from that? Or is this just kind of saying it, but not really getting the work done in terms of how it actively protects children from whatever it is? Because, for example, I know this on YouTube where you're able to create an account for children where it is for kids. There's certain things that they're not exposed to the same way we see YouTube that's full. Is this a fair kind of deduction from this?
Yeah, well, it's absolutely fair. Like I was saying, you've got these platforms that are thinking about children's safety. So, for example, you know, you're not allowed to create an account on some social media platforms if you're under 16. And a lot of, if you talk about YouTube or you know, Netflix, if you are implementing those parental controls, they are there specifically to safeguard your children. So if you're feeling anxious about, oh gosh, I can't learn all of this stuff and I'm anxious about what do I do and where do I start, why don't you start by understanding the tools that they are using and use those kits that have already been created for you to help safeguard your children.
Let's talk about online history. This is where it is getting a little bit, especially with the older kids. Should I, as a parent, check my child's browsing history to see where they've been, the websites they've visited, and some of the web pages that they've loaded?
So there's pros and cons to this, and benefits and risks, and this all also comes down to education and being able to really talk to children about online dangers and giving and equipping them with strategies to be able to look after themselves. So on the one hand, monitoring your child's browsing history can help you to identify any potential risks that they may be exposed to online, your cyberbullying or any inappropriate content that they may have viewed or any contact with strangers, those kinds of things if you monitor. And you can also then be sure that they are you know, using the internet safely and responsibly. But on the other hand, monitoring that browsing history could be seen as intrusive and could lead to a decrease in your child's trust as a parent. So what do you do, right? So you do want to kind of, if you do decide that you're going to monitor your child's online activities, you need to do it in a responsible way, and you need to make sure that your child is aware that you're doing that. So have conversations with them, tell them that you're doing it. You should be able to pick up your child's phone and browse their history at any time without any hindrance. And the red flags will be there as soon as they start becoming super defensive and hiding things for you. That's often an indication that there's something going on that you probably don't want to know about. Should know about.
Yeah, you should definitely know about it if they're acting in that way. Chrisel, before we wrap up our time together, there's a parent who may be listening to this conversation going, my word, I've just discovered this about my child, or I think I'm seeing signs, like you're rightfully saying, where they're a little bit apprehensive when I'm wanting to see their online usage or wanting to see their social media. How do I navigate this place where I found this? Like, how do I then lead them to what are the next steps once I've uncovered this, once I've seen that they've been consuming age inappropriate content or whatever it may be?
Yeah, so it's kind of lead into what you do as a parent. You know, the things are kind of the red flags that I was mentioning to look out for is your child's changing passwords all the time. They're suddenly closing screens when you come close by. They're using the phone late at night or weird hours. They're clearing their browsing history all the time. They're very secretive. They're spending a lot of time, but they won't talk about it. They're creating all these accounts on social media. They've got contacts you don't know. Like, all of that stuff are red flags. So what do I do, right? So first of all, you know, I've discovered my child is doing something. Stay calm. Okay. You need to create a safe space for your child to be able to talk to you. What have they seen? What have they been doing? They shouldn't feel threatened by being able to share with you. They should feel they have a safe place with you to discuss this and get help. So you have an open conversation, you know, explain to them, you know, why it's inappropriate, why it's harmful. Ask the child, how did they come across it? What did they understand? And importantly, how it's made them feel. Because then you can educate, and then you can talk, what is a healthy online habit? Why is this bad for you? Why don't I want you to do this? And that can then lead you into the opportunity to set up those parental controls, content filters, you know, all those monitoring tools that we were speaking about. And if worse comes to the worst, I mean, if we think also 67% of child participants have seen sexual images that they've on an online device. They've been exposed to these things. Look for professional help. If your child has been deeply affected by content, whether it's violent content or any other kind of inappropriate content, and you feel a little bit out of your depth, look for professional help for guidance and to talk your child through this to deal with the trauma.
Crystal, thank you that you've been that guidance for a lot of parents this afternoon as well as last week, just navigating this place that can sometimes feel very daunting, overwhelming. But I think you've really just made it comfortable for a lot of people to kind of go, okay, I understand it a little bit more. I understand the value of it, and I understand why I need to be taking responsibility in ensuring that my child is safe from whatever's happening online. So thank you so much for chatting to us, not just this afternoon, but also just for the last 2 weeks about making sure that our children are safe.
It's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you, and hopefully we've helped some people to have great conversations with their children.
I definitely said, I'm certain that we have, and I think there's a lot of people saying, hey, I need to do the right thing. That's Crystal Fonamadva, who is a director of customer operations at Mimecast, talking to us about children online safety, not just what we put out, but in this case, really talking about how we give them, how we monitor what it is that they're taking in, how we monitor the shows they watch, the music they listen to, the social media interaction that they have, to ensure that we are certain, for certainty, that they are safe even as they interact with the rest of the world.